behind the screen. There's a world of pure imagination behind the screen. There's a
Bart get that stupid watch and they break it. And the watch that stops time.
Yeah.
And they ate and they're like, they get a book.
Oh, you mean an aged Milhouse?
Yeah, an aged.
No, it's not that. It's not an aged Milhouse.
Is it Milhouse as a werepoodle?
It might be. I don't know. But if you go on the Burger King website, you can see them all.
So, you didn't understand what I meant by old? What?
Show's been on for 20 years.
Oh, I see what you... Okay. So, like, early Milhouse is what you thought I meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, now,
see?
Okay.
A friend of mine worked on the shoot with this girl recently who's 21, and she had never seen The Simpsons.
Wow.
Never. Now that's, I can understand never. Not being a fan or whatever, but it's so ubiquitous.
Or not being familiar with old episodes, but like, how do you not
see at least it? One episode in passing? It's on.
It takes effort.
All the time, yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it came on the year that she was born.
But that's insane, right? What I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's been on at least once a week every year of her life.
Yeah, yeah. At least once a day.
Like, if you met somebody who was 21 and they said to you, "The news?" You're like, yeah, like every day at 5 o'clock, I don't know, they have a weatherman? A weatherman? Does he?
What
is he?
I get mine from
the internet. They have sports, this thing called sports.
I don't know what you're, yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Paul Goble Show. I'm your host, Paul Goble. Oh, man, we're in a heated conversation about TV already. That's the thing, we all are so crazy about TV. We start talking about it before the show even begins.
I'll tell you how crazy I am about TV. Very nearly watched some this week.
Wow.
And then we stop talking about it right before the show ends. With me, as always, is my co-host and best friend, Jim Bruce.
Hey, everybody.
And with him, as always, is his co-host and best friend, Tom Griffin.
Hello.
Are you so tired that you're drunk?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little off, for sure.
It's good that can was not open yet. Because Jim just nearly
spilled it. Oh, he'll spill it eventually. And our guest today is a very funny comedian who you may have heard or seen around town if you're in L.A. Mr. Benny Arthur is joining us today for the first time. Welcome to the show, Benny.
So, hi. Thanks for having me.
Tell the folks about yourself. Where may they have seen your comedy jokes or some of your work before?
Well, I have some jokes online, YouTube, also Funny or Die. I've done some stuff that have been featured on Funny or Die.
Right on.
I do a lot of stuff with channel101.com.
Excellent.
So, and stand-up.
And you're a big tweeter, too.
I do tweet.
You're a funny tweeter. What is your Twitter handle?
Thank you. Just Benny Arthur.
At Benny Arthur. That's I-E.
With an I-E.
Yeah, you tweet some funny stuff.
Thank you.
I enjoy reading it. I follow you. All right, so I wanted to talk about there was a whole lot going on. There's a lot of new shows, obviously, and we're saving that for next week's show, talk about all the new stuff. But TV, you know, between, like, after the Emmys happens, everybody kind of takes a break in TV and nothing really goes on. And they let the new shows roll out and they see what sticks and what doesn't. But the only thing I really wanted to talk about was The Office, because I watched a lot of shit this past week, and The Office premiered, in my opinion, was so crazily funny. That just like even the first opening, before the credits.
The planking was great.
And, you know, and how, you know, explaining how Robert California came in and then drove to Florida and took Joe's job and all that stuff. It made me laugh out loud. It was all so funny.
Jim's description of that felt so real, which is nice.
Yes.
Because sometimes the stuff they do when, like, Dwight, of course, careens into cartoon land, and I love Dwight, and I'm certainly not complaining, but every now and then, it's like, this is less something I can believe happens in a documentary, unless it's a documentary of the Warner Brothers cartoon characters, because it's just absurdness. But, like, when he's describing Robert California, if I'd have seen them act out the scene, it would have looked too crazy. But him describing some fucked up shit that he was like, he talked her out of her job.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so wonderful.
Yeah. It's super funny. I mean, and it made me think, boy, this show, because the way I described it in my TVGeekArmy.com review was basically it was a lot like the old Office, only without Steve Carell. That's what it was. It was the Office just without Steve Carell. And, you know, yes, it had a new guy, but he didn't replace Steve Carell in any way. But it was all just so super funny. And I especially liked that scene where he was going to go talk to Aaron when he came out and everybody was waiting for him to talk to. And she goes, here we go. And it was her big time. And she blew it by saying that she woke up. But it just, I mean, I guess some people thought, oh, and Stanley's thing about shove it up your butt. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Good.
Brilliant. And I just, you know, I think some people think, oh, the show's not as good or it's not the same or whatever, but...
It's not the same, but it's good.
Right. Yeah. That's what I think. And is of course, it shouldn't be the same, right?
No. I like Spader, James Spader's character.
He's brilliant.
So, yeah, it's a nice switch up from Carell. So.
Yes, that's the other thing is like, and Andy is the perfect, in my opinion, Andy is the perfect choice to fill in because, as we've already seen the past, whatever, seven seasons, the Office runs itself. You don't need somebody to run the Office. As we saw, Michael is completely ineffective as a manager. He was just a figurehead, really, because what he was good at was being the guy who people came to talk to and being, you know, acting like the guy in charge.
Although I will say, and it does look like they're touching upon this already, the thing that we discussed many times when we would talk about The Office that we always knew about Michael's character is they established very thoroughly that he's a great salesman. Right. But what's really quite nice, Andrew Bernard, not a very good salesman.
The worst, as a matter of fact.
In fact, they already glossed over, and if we have some time, we'll mention that we lost one of our biggest clients.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
So an office that the reason they're still in business in the first place from Dunder Mifflin, which went out of business because they're not even Dunder Mifflin anymore,
right,
is because this one office was making money. That's not going to be as true anymore, and that's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, they might make money despite Andy, you know, being in charge.
I kind of hope they don't, though. That'd be interesting because Michael had something to offer, which was he's a great salesman.
But he was also mostly out of sales.
And I guess they've also
clearly established that Dwight is a good salesman and that Jim and Stanley and Phyllis are good salesmen when they apply themselves.
You're right.
Yeah, and Jim obviously is a star. He sells all the time. And, I mean, who doesn't need a printer, right? Printers sell themselves.
Right? Do they?
Are you kidding me? Have you ever bought a printer?
Yeah, I remember in the 90s I bought a printer.
Right?
Yeah.
See?
All the way back in the 90s.
But you bought one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I will give them credit. It's a good printer. I still got it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man, all those burst into flames.
No, Packard. Packard something?
Todd Packer?
Todd Packer, yeah.
He's a good salesman. See, he's on the road, though.
That's a Todd Packer. It's a good printer, but it's kind of racist.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, I guess Spader's going to be in the next episode, but obviously he can't be in every episode, right? I mean, Probably not. My thing is, how hilarious is he? Of course, I'd love to see him every week, but it would totally take away the specialness of him being on the show if he's in every episode, right?
And that's probably not what he wanted from what we've heard.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's very clear about how he doesn't like to work. He's lazy. You know what else I found out about him? He's, like, way nearsighted, and he doesn't wear contacts. So anytime you see him on screen not wearing glasses, he's pretty much blind.
Yeah. Is that why, like, he squints so much when he acts?
I think so. And also, you notice how, I mean, it's perfect for this character, how he kind of doesn't look at people really. While he might act like he's looking at someone in a scene, he really isn't looking at them. He's looking in their direction, maybe. And then also he's sitting a lot. There's not a whole lot of him standing around and moving and walking around the office and all that.
Now, does he just not wear glasses when he acts, or just doesn't wear glasses at all?
Apparently, well, I think he wears glasses when he needs to see, like in his daily life.
Like driving?
Right, or maybe he doesn't drive. He probably pays someone to drive him around.
True.
But he probably just wears them when he has to, and when they say, no, this character doesn't wear glasses, he goes, okay.
Yeah.
And just takes them off and doesn't bother. But I thought it was funny. He's, you know, making these lists and writing. I guess if he's nearsighted, maybe he could see it. But I don't know. He's a weird dude, but man, he's fucking funny.
I thought that was really funny how he erased the name as
as he was talking to him, yeah. And then also, like, I was trying to read the list. Like, what were the names that were erased in the first place?
Yeah.
That had been, like, in those blank spaces.
I did adjusted, yeah.
Did you see that Creed was just listed as old man?
Old man. Hilarious. Yeah, I laughed out loud when I saw that. And again, I'm like, that's, you know, he doesn't even care. Creed obviously saw the list. He didn't give a shit.
He doesn't even know.
He didn't even notice.
The other thing that's funny is he erases the name and moves it, but I'm sure that what he actually said is, I bet it really is just doodling. And it's just in that moment he says in his mind, he's like, yeah, I'm going to mess with Andy because that's what I'm here for.
I'm going to doodle.
Now, real quick, though, how long has the craze of planking been around? Because I saw one of my friends decided to make fun of planking, and mm-hmm. that's how I found out about it about a month ago.
So you hadn't heard about it before that?
Well, but before that, I didn't know what planking was.
Okay.
But then, like, my friends started taking pictures of her planking, and I was like, what the fuck is planking? And then it was great that they made fun of it on right. The Office. But, like, how long has planking been around?
Yeah, I was watching with Brooke, and she said, what, is that a thing? She had never heard of it, because she doesn't surf the internet like we do. But it's been not a whole long time. But
well, it's actually been around a couple of years, and then just in the last year, it kind of became a big thing.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
But it's already on the way out, I understand.
Well, the internet moves at the speed of light.
Right,
so
that's true.
As soon as you've heard of something, it's old news.
But, how did they come up with the idea of planking? Like, I'm just going to lie on something let someone take a picture of me?
Well, hypothetically, let's say you're a stupid motherfucker.
Sure. Hypothetically, I'm a stupid motherfucker.
Right, and you're like, what stupid fucknut thing can I do? And there's a lot of options. You're like, I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
I've seen boards.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I'm just going to be a board.
It's so stupid. There's nothing about it that's good.
There was a guy who worked at, I think, GameStop and got fired for planking.
For planking?
Yeah, because he posted pictures of himself, like, planking in the store. And GameStop saw them, and he was, I guess he was a manager, and they're like, okay, you're fucking around on company time. B, you're setting a bad example, and C, this looks dangerous. So
no planking at GameStop.
You're done.
You can't dumb, do that. So. GameStop does not, unless you buy the planking game.
So he got fired.
Then, then you can
it's
plank.
Cool. Yeah, it's
so,
I got that, by the way. I got planking for my PS2.
And
you're fucking
nice,
awesome.
Great game. Now is it first ever?
I swear you got it for the PS2?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't played it, but they're coming out with the HD remix for PS3.
I gotta get
so
that.
So maybe I'll
download it. Now, how's the game work? You lay on your PS2? Is that how that works?
You lay the game on the PS2.
Okay. Nice.
I did that to my kid today. I walked out. She was watching TV, and I walked out to the couch and planked on the couch. And she just went, "Stop planking!" She yelled at me. What I like is
and
coning.
Like, no, I'm just depressed.
What's coning?
Do you know what coning is, Tom?
Coning. I haven't heard.
Jim?
I don't know if I've heard
I
of coning.
I think I know what that is. Isn't that where you enjoy a delicious ice cream cone and you don't do stupid horse shit?
No, you're half right.
Do you put like a orange cone on your head, traffic cone?
That would be great. But no, it's, and this is actually funny because you have to videotape it. You go through a drive-through like McDonald's or Burger King and you get an ice cream cone, but you grab it by the top. You grab it by the ice cream from the guy. You pay him for the ice cream cone, and you grab it by the top, and then it falls, or it falls on you, or whatever, and you drive away. But it's funny to see the reaction of the person going, what the fuck?
Well, I kind of like that, because it's not that dick thing where you throw it at that guy, because he didn't do anything wrong.
No, yeah, that's
just get it on yourself.
Well,
right, or you drop it on the floor. But here's what, I saw this on, I don't know if I saw it on Tosh or whatever, somebody was doing it, and the girl went to reach for it, and the guy pulled it away and said, no. Said, are you going to grab it by the top? And she went, what? And he goes, I'm not giving this to you unless you grab it by the bottom. I'll give you your money back. And he apparently had been coned before and was not playing. And I have a feeling like sometimes people cone and it falls on the ground and they have to go clean it up, and they're probably pissed off about that.
Yeah.
The best, but there's other variations on it too. Like one variation I saw was, a guy drove in to get his ice cream cone, but he had one already. Like, he had an ice cream cone with him. So he drives up to the window, and the lady reaches in and goes, oh, you already have one. She didn't know what to do. She's like, well, he wanted one, but how could he want one? He's already got one. Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
That's really funny. So that there's got to be, it'd be fun to try to give that person your cone so that you could hold your cone. That'd be
right?
The other
or even yeah. better, just drive up and go, here you go, give it to them and drive away.
Right.
But it reminds me of that old Steve Carell thing on the Dana Carvey show. Where the pranksters thought they were really funny.
Oh, yeah.
They would drive.
They would go and pay for something.
And then drive away without getting it. Or, yeah, drive up to get gas.
I thought that was Exit 57, but that's Dana Carvey?
It was Dana Carvey show. It was Steve Carell. It was Steve Carell and Dana Carvey. And they did it once to Dino, and then they did it once to someone else. But they would.
I was about to reference that very sketch because it does remind me of that.
Yeah, once they were getting gas, they would go pay for the gas and then drive away and not get the gas and thought they were hilarious. But it reminds me of that because you're not really hurting anyone except yourself. You're getting ice cream all over your hand. And
yeah.
That's cold. You don't want that, right?
That's cold.
Yeah.
That's cold-blooded.
So cold.
Bruh. So you hadn't even heard of planking. And have you... Now, you say your friend made fun of planking by planking?
Well, she kept on posting pictures.
It was ironic.
Yeah, it was ironic planking.
Right?
Yes. Well, she's a hipster. Everything's okay. Ironic. No. she kept on posting pictures on her Instagram thing,
right.
Which is, you know, you post pictures on that. And,
she is a hipster.
And yeah, now it's like,
hipster man.
Why is she lying on stuff? What
he
is this?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And then in one of the pictures, she mentioned something about planking. And so I Googled planking, and it came up like people acting like boards.
Right. That's you know? That's the whole point is to do it. But like,
yeah.
But like, what I think the way they did it on The Office, it shows really just how useless it is.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the point to get people to respond to be good at it? I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's like a competition, like to do it as high as you can or do it on the weirdest thing.
Like the line, I can't get down. I seriously can't get down.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, if it's like, I'm going to go plank, get a picture of me planking on the principal's desk in
yeah.
high school. That I could see that because that's hard to do and you're going to get in trouble if you get caught. Or picture me planking on top of the school or,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
on a moving car. That shit I get, but just doing it somewhere...
In a fire.
Yes, on fire.
Yeah, on
right.
fire.
Well, in a fire, then you're on fire, because the fire's going.
Yeah, if, you like, get both. If you can get a picture of yourself planking, and you're just suspended on, like, two tongues of fire, this is just a tire flip
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Like, that would be really
or,
impressive.
Like, you know what would be hard to do? Like, on a long piece of wood. I don't know what you'd call it, but, like, a thin... piece of wood that's like maybe an inch thick, maybe 8 feet long.
If you can plank on that,
what's the
you
wood
got...
on?
Huh?
What's the wood on?
It's just like, maybe it's like hanging off of a ship. You know? Like
okay.
It's sticking out of the side of a ship.
Oh.
And you're just laying down on that.
Okay, so here's an idea, and I'm too lazy to do this. Here's what I would find funny to do, just normal planking. But go get a ventriloquist dummy and have that plank in places. That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah,
we've got a ventriloquist.
Yeah, maybe
that.
We'll
it
do that. But
I
probably won't.
I think you guys got a YouTube hit.
Yes, most
yes.
definitely the dummy planking.
Front page of YouTube.
It also
isn't it the Lester doll? Isn't actually a Willy?
No, but Lester's black.
Lester's what is?
No, ours is like Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah,
okay,
Charlie McCarthy
planking.
Sure.
Because just have it be the famous fucking, that's pretty funny.
Celebrity planking.
Yeah.
It reminds
now,
me.
How did you hear about coning?
I saw it. It had to be on one of those internet shows, Tosh or Web Soup or something where a guy was doing a bunch of different ones.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, and also I have kids who are 10 and 12, so.
They cone a lot?
No, they tell me about the crazy shit they see on the internet.
Little interesting
yeah.
tidbit about Tosh, by the way. If you watch Tosh, when you go over to your friend Paul's house because you don't have cable, you're like, fuck, this show's funny. If you have cable, you get over it. You just
yes.
do, because it's just like, it's edgier, funniest home videos because it's just people's nuts yes. getting in things and people crying about things. And...
But people like seeing people's nuts. No, I'm not.
That's called nutting, by
yeah,
the way.
Right. That's nutting.
Nutting.
When you grab someone's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just putting your nuts in something, in a hand, in a, you know.
You remember
there's already a word for that.
Is
well,
it?
you remember
nuts and things? Yeah, that had a word.
Well,
we already had a word for that.
Well, you remember the old steak sketch where it's like, I'm going to put my balls
yeah, I'm
in
I'm
going to
get
it.
My balls in yes. that. That's right. I remember that.
So one of my favorite sketches ever.
The other thing, it reminds me of, like, whenever you go, when people go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, they always take a picture of themselves, you know, pushing it up, you know, supposedly.
Right.
But then the other, the hip thing to do is, like, take a picture from far away of all the people who are doing that. So you got, like, a group shot of, like, six people who, from different angles who think they're funny, but, of course, they just look stupid. And it's, like, it's your way to be above that. It's, like, the anti, whatever that's called, leaning. I don't know what it's called, but it's the anti-leaning.
Hey, now, how about planking at the Tower of Pisa? On the top of
if,
the Tower of Pisa.
See, that,
you
I'd be impressed.
That would be great.
Off.
I'd
yeah,
be impressed
slide
someone
off.
Who could plank at the Tower
hey,
of Pisa.
Is the video,
any national monument,
is
really.
The video portrait thing popular? Because that I kind of find entertaining. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Well, the example that I saw, and I guess this was the guy who did it first, is it's this fat guy, sumo-ish kind of build, with a cup of tea. And it's a portrait, except that obviously what he's done is he's running a video camera, not taking a picture, and he's just holding still.
Right.
And that's the whole thing, is it's a portrait of this guy, but he's clearly not.
How long is it?
It's like 3 or 4 minutes. So just, and of course, he's not completely still, but that's kind of what's charming.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Are you familiar with that?
I don't know.
That?
It sounds familiar, but how long can that be interesting? You see it once and go, hmm.
Well,
so
more than planking.
Well, that's cup of tea.
Is that
so? Yeah, you just hold a cup of tea while someone
cup
is
O-T.
Yeah. So let's go cup of tea, guys.
Let's do that.
That sounds classy.
I prefer iced tea. Well, let's move into trivia for this week. Now, I have to apologize because
I wanted to say about The Office.
Yes, Tom.
I thought Jenna Fischer was just incredible in this episode.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
Or just her small reactions and how she was just like seconds away from crying the entire episode.
Yeah, she's grown into quite the
really,
actress.
Really, really funny.
She's come a long way from Big Boob Betty. Right?
Yes, she has.
You remember Big Boob Betty?
No.
She was on Undeclared. That was her character. She was in two episodes of Undeclared.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Big Boob Betty.
And
funny because her boobs are big.
And the other thing is, clearly, should Ed Helms decide to leave the show, I think Rob Corddry is clearly next in line to be manager at Dunder Mifflin.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's all people from The Daily Show?
Yeah.
Okay. But Rob Corddry's been out of work for a while. I mean, they even made that joke on The Daily Show when they brought them both back that one episode, and Ed Helms was like, yeah, things are great. And Rob Corddry's like, hey, can I have my job back? That yeah, was pretty funny. But couldn't it be Vance DeGeneres?
No. No? They're going down the list, and Colbert's already got a job, so Corddry's next in line, I think.
All right. Well, here's the trivia. I have to apologize because last week's trivia question I screwed up. I said, who is the only person to win an Emmy? What did I say?
On two different shows.
On three different shows. Who's the only person to win an Emmy
character.
For playing the same character on three different shows? What I should have said is, who's the only person nominated for an Emmy for playing the same character on three different shows?
That is a big difference.
And
yeah.
A lot of people gave me the right answer anyways, but I actually think it was unfair to you guys because I think you would have got it knowing that. Now knowing that it's that... Really? Still?
I might not. I'm not very smart, Paul.
Benny, do you have any idea who that would be? It's an actor who was nominated for the same character... But for three different shows.
It's not Kelsey Grammer.
It is Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, it is? Okay, then I think
yeah, I was about to say Frasier.
Right.
What was the third show?
Wings.
Wings?
He was
on Wings?
Well, he was a guest actor on one episode of Wings.
Okay.
Because a lot of people from you know, it was the same producers. A lot of, like, because I remember not Coach, but Woody flew through there once, and Norm and Cliff flew through there in Nantucket.
Okay.
But he got
nominated for, like, a guest star?
Right. He was nominated. Okay. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Cheers, but I don't think he ever won. He, of course, won a couple times for Frasier, and he was nominated for Best Guest Actor on Wings, but he did not win. So I apologize. Nobody won the prize. No prizes given out this past week. So sorry. But this week, I got a question and a half for you motherfuckers.
Let's do this shit.
This week's question is
Let's go into trivia. Let's go.
James Spader. The question is, James Spader...
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Nope. Okay. I don't think he's in that movie. Who'd he play in that?
Did he play Fast Times? Yeah, he played Fast Times.
James Spader and Kevin Bacon both played the same character. What is the name of that character? James Spader and Kevin Bacon have both played the same role. It might not even be a character. I'll say Kevin Bacon and James Spader both played the same role in different productions. What is the name of that character or person they played? Anybody have a guess?
Was it Footloose?
You mean the guy in Footloose?
Yeah, he played Footloose.
No, only Kevin Bacon played Footloose. James Spader,
there's the new one coming out.
Yeah, he's not in that.
Oh, okay.
He's not playing
Spader's
that.
Spader's not Footloose?
No, he's not. Okay. No, he's a little old for that part.
Jack Nicholson?
They both played Jack Nicholson?
Played him?
No. What project did somebody play Jack Nicholson?
In the Jack Nicholson Chronicles.
No, that's not a thing. You're making that up.
Did that not get greenlit?
Benny, do you have a guess?
Tremors?
No.
No.
Now, that would be a good guess, because they did make Tremors into a TV show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He could have played that part, but no.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe after
that's and I will give the folks at home a hint. That's the avenue you want to go down if you want to figure out the answer.
That's something about worms or underground things.
So yeah. Nobody got it right. So if you folks at home know the answer, you can write to Paul at thekingoftv.com. And I got all kinds of great prizes. I just got a screener from Comedy Central with the first episode of Nick Swardson's Pretend Time. Ooh. I can send you that and the Weird Al thing. The first season was okay, but it's just okay. But I got all kinds of shit to send you still. Prizes, porno, everything.
Send porno to your fans?
Yeah, well, because I get a lot of porno parodies from Hustler.
Oh, okay.
And like this one I got, the Conan the Barbarian one. I'm still waiting to send that out.
Based off the new Conan or the original?
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know. I don't know what it's more leans towards.
Okay.
I'm sure. I hope there's a tall black chick in it, though. I also want to remind you folks to check out the Perspectives blog that Jim and I write for, and also check out Real Rock Music. I just made a new video and put it up there. I just recorded today at Real Rock Music. It's not so much an interview with John Fogerty, but it is a John Fogerty video. And also, I was a guest on the St. Mort podcast. It's called The St. Mort Show. I just did that today. So I was a guest on there along with John Fogerty. We were both guests on that podcast today.
Right. Did you do your John Fogerty bit?
Well, no, because I would have been doing it for myself.
Okay.
That was I was on it with John Fogerty, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So I want to remind people to check out realrockmusic.com and also the St. Mort show. And I think anytime now, the Battleship Retention Live episode that Benny and I both performed on will be up and running, but we'll find out next week when those guys are on the show. Okay, anyone else got a topic they want to talk about?
As long as we just brought it up, what do you think of Frasier? Because I remember when that show started, I was really into it. I really liked it. And then even during its run, I got tired of it.
Yeah.
And if I watch it in reruns now, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. I just don't have any particular strong feelings for it.
Like what season did you start kind of getting tired of it? I would say
probably around third.
Yeah. So
long before any major changes, before Daphne and Niles started dating, before they were married.
I thought it was really good when it premiered, but I burned out on it pretty quick.
It was on a long time.
Yeah, when Daphne and Niles, like, started really dating mm-hmm. and getting married, that's kind of when I kind of checked out.
Really?
Or Frasier, yeah.
Well, it was a major change, certainly. And then, you know, and then they got married and the show continued.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was a huge change because that was a big deal for his character especially. You know, it was so yeah. funny that he was whipped by Maris and, you know, she was the weirdo who you never saw and he was in love with her. And then it just made him more of a normal dude
yeah.
when he confessed that he was in love with her and he was no longer tied to this weird woman that we never saw.
Yeah, it's probably a mistake to do that.
They normalized his character, basically. And, I mean, I don't know. It's I kept watching the show, but I honestly don't remember it getting better. In my opinion, what I found attractive about the show the whole time was Kelsey Grammer. I mean, there's a reason that guy, you know,
and
was...
And the dad.
Yeah.
His Kelsey dad. Grammer's dad.
The yeah, Frasier's
and the
dad.
Show. Yeah. Well, and also Martin. The dog too. What was
really?
The dog?
You watched
name?
For the dog?
Yeah, just the dog. Yeah.
Here's what I remember. This is the one when the show's its funniest. Here's to me the show at its funniest is his dad saves Niles and Frasier a really nice bottle of French wine, and it's an old bottle of wine. And they say the region, and it's obviously it's a very fancy bottle of wine. And he says, I've been keeping this for you guys because in some big event, like whatever, the show hit his radio show hit a milestone.
Right.
So let's crack this open and enjoy this wine. And it's for you guys. I don't really like wine. And they crack it open and they pour it out. And he goes, Dad, this is amazing. You've been keeping it this long? And they start drinking. And he goes, yeah, I've had it over by that radiator. And, of course, it's poison. And
yeah.
they both smile at each other and spit it out and dump it and thank their father. And it was quiet little moments like that. But, yeah, I think that once you get into the crazy Daphne stuff and then sometimes and that they're getting married, it maybe betrays the sort of fundamentals of that show.
But you have to move on eventually. You can't
I guess you do.
Keep that joke up, you know, forever.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Daphne, you guys ever watch Hot in Cleveland?
I don't. I watched the first few episodes
yeah.
just to see what it was all about. But it's a show for old ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so clearly aimed at, you know, older women who fucking love it. They go, it's the new Golden Girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They love the fucking show. Well, and more power to them. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, some of my friends have been trying to get me to watch Hot in Cleveland. And I'm like, no.
What's sad
sorry.
About it, I mean, it's a perfectly fine show. And, you know, you can't, it's a great cast. Riley Britinelli,
yeah.
still beautiful and funny. And Jane Leaves and Wendy Malick, all great. And, of course, Betty White. Who doesn't love Betty White? I say,
awesome.
You know, hurrah. They're all awesome. And, yes, and if they had, you know, better writers, I'd probably watch the show. But the sad part is all the sitcoms Nick at Night has tried to do since then that they've, like, paired it up with. The shitty one Retired at 30 or whatever with George Segal and then the Happily Divorced. Did you guys watch that with Fran Drescher?
Nah.
Woo-wee. It was like the nanny had a baby and left it on someone's doorstep for hours is what it was. It's just fucking the worst. And I mean, it's just corny and just not funny. And it's like, I don't know, part of the reason Hot in Cleveland is popular is because of all those women are
yeah.
all funny and attractive and charming.
Well, and also Betty White, like,
exactly.
just totally blown up.
Yeah. She's dynamite.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
but then, you know, it's, whereas Hot in Cleveland, it's just her and you know, and the dude from Best in Show and all those Chris Guest movies.
Yeah.
He's very funny, but you need more for that, especially when you don't have, you know, the greatest writers. It's fucking Nick at Night. It reminds me of Whitney. I don't. We don't need to get too into it, but did you guys watch Whitney?
I watched Whitney.
Oi, I say to Whitney.
Yeah. So,
although,
well,
judging from the first episode and from, like, all the ads, it seems like she's going to spend most of the series in her underwear. And I know you can't be against that.
Well, I mean, in a sense, I am for women in their underwear. I'm not so much for 14-year-old boys in their underwear. And that's kind of the vibe I get from her. Because
so,
if she's wearing a bra and panties, she might as well be a Cub Scout in his fucking underwear. If she was naked, that'd be a totally different thing. But she's fucking built like a I don't know, some kind of board, like a long, skinny board. I can't think of the word for it, but yeah. That's how she's built.
So she's like planking.
Yes!
It's just totally, see, that's
what they should have called the show. That's they should have called the show planking.
Planking.
Here's what I don't understand
upright
about
planking.
How are they going to get anyone to watch that show unless they advertise it? It's like, how? Why don't they get the word out?
There are no billboards.
Right?
Ever.
Who knows about the show?
Yeah.
Someone said, hey, did you watch Whitney? I'm like, what? Is that a new talk show? Is that like the new, is she the new
Whitney
Oprah?
Whitney
Houston's got, I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, I love Whitney Houston. Wait a minute. Who's this?
Right. And if you don't get the word out on a new show like that, people are never going to watch it.
Speaking
call
of...
Call me crazy.
Since you mentioned Twitter a little while ago, one tweet that I thought was really funny recently was a friend of mine tweeted this. I woke up this morning and someone had put a Whitney billboard in my bedroom.
It's fucking funny. Who was it?
It was Simon Helberg, I think.
Oh, did he? Oh, yes. He's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I saw, what did I see? Was it? It must have been on a Daily Show. Somebody said, you know, 50% of all marriages end in sweatpants.
Yeah.
John Stewart goes, I think he saw that on a Whitney billboard, actually.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know, maybe. But
I mean, I saw that too, so I don't think it was the Daily Show. I can't remember.
Oh, okay,
because
you don't watch the Daily Show?
But like, Whitney billboards.
I don't see it often.
It's so ubiquitous. It's fucking everywhere. And it's like, even people who...
There's a building by my office that has a Whitney billboard on this side, and then a Whitney billboard on the next side.
Yeah.
And but also the billboards are like divided in four, so each one of them is like four ads. It's like eight ads right on that corner.
What's crazy is there are people who will never watch that show. Some because they're not interested in that, some because they don't watch those type of shows, some because they don't watch TV. And yet all those people, if you ask them, do you know who Whitney is? They go, yeah, I've heard of her. Like, her Q rating is huge now, even though most people in America aren't going to watch her show. You know what I mean? And also, I saw her on fucking Fallon, and she was making a big deal about how it was shot in front of a live audience. And they even say at the beginning.
They did.
Whitney is shot in front of a live audience because they want everybody to know, you're going to hear laughter. I know you're not used to it, but you're going to hear people laughing, and it's real, and it's not a laugh track. Because it's, you know, there aren't that many, what do they call it, three-camera sitcoms around.
There's a young guy at my office, smart guy, knows a fair amount about TV, but it's funny sometimes when I hear him talk because his age shows through. Because sometimes he was having a conversation the other day about how, yeah, I was never really into the three-camera shows, but they're doing more of those now, and I'm starting to get into it. And it's like, in his mind... Single camera shows are the tradition.
The way it was made,
yeah.
Right?
It's like, wow, wait,
that's crazy.
That's only been true in about
grow
the
up
past
during
7 years.
The 70s,
yeah, man. Right. When that's the way it was done. When that's the way
Three's Company, you know. So yeah, the classics.
Yeah,
like
no,
Three's Company.
It was a disorienting moment to hear this conversation. But
yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, did Whitney do well? In the ratings?
Well, you got to remember, it's on after The Office. And and it's that old thing. It reminds me of when Veronica's Closet was on after Seinfeld. You know, people watched Seinfeld, then went and took a shit or, you know, got a snack or checked their email while they waited for ER to come on, you know, from 9:30 to 10. And it's the same thing, especially...
Yeah, but The Office.
So Whitney's a good show to take a shit during.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
The Office has never been a smash hit, though.
But I think it's more popular now than it's ever been. You got to admit that. Yes, you're right. It's no Seinfeld.
Well, I believe it was actually down this year against last year.
The premiere? Oh,
but I believe, and I may be misremembering, but I believe Whitney did pretty well. By NBC standards.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to remember, it's...
The whole network is depressed.
I mean, does it equal out the amount of, like, the advertising campaign for it? Are they going to break even? Because they spent so much money advertising.
But look at what they get a season out of it, then it would probably have been worth it.
But they didn't spend, but that's the thing is, they didn't spend anything on anything. They didn't spend any money on Up All Night. Certainly didn't spend anything on fucking Free Agents.
Yeah.
You know, people don't even know that's a show. You know, Prime Suspect a little bit.
But why Whitney? Why did they spend so much money on this one sitcom?
I think
because of her, right?
I think it's because they got her for a song, first of all. She's an unknown. She's cheap, as opposed to Up All Night. You know, they had to make Christina Applegate a producer on that show.
Yeah.
And Prime Suspect, they had to beg Maria Bello to do it. Free Agents, they had to pay the English version so they could get that. Whitney, she created the show with her boyfriend, who, of course, is a powerful producer, whatever. And they got the whole thing for pretty cheap. And they're like, well, we can produce it or promote the shit out of it. And if it does well, it'll make us a lot of money on the back end.
Okay.
As opposed to these other shows, you know, which, you know, they're throwing money other places.
You say a lot of crazy horseshit, but that actually makes sense. Yeah,
that could be crazy horseshit, too, for all I know. I may be talking
about that. Yeah, but that still makes sense. It sounds like a lot of shit
yes,
you
it
say.
Does
oh, my
make
God.
Sense. And also because NBC...
So much horseshit?
Yeah, I mean,
Ever since the 80s, NBC has been... Their main goal has been...
Cheers.
Yeah, Thursday nights. Let's get back to Thursday nights. Let's own Thursday nights again. And they refuse to give that up. They refuse to go for a new model, a new business model. And they're close. Community's great.
Yeah.
And Parks and Rec, hilarious.
I think they're right,
they have an absolutely killer lineup of comedies no one's watching.
Yeah, that's the sad thing is Community... is, you know, funnier than it's ever been. This first episode
But it's always on the chopping block, even though, like, it's a really great show.
It's because we watch it, but our parents don't watch it.
Here's the thing about that show that is crazy, is, like, I talk to Scott Yarbrough. Yeah, I do. I talk to my parents about it, like, you know.
I've talked to your parents.
Spitting on the gravestone. which is just because I'm salivating. I love my parents.
Wait a minute, when you go see visit your parents' graves, you salivate?
Well, it's because I've just eaten a big hoagie.
Thinking about it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's my day. I get a big fat hoagie, I sit on the graveside, I eat the hoagie.
Sure.
I drink a
big old coffee.
Oh, really?
I just love to have coffee, and unfortunately that makes me have to shit.
Oh, okay.
And so I got to find a tree, and there's no tree, so I'm just like right by the gravestone, but I love you, parents. And then they kick me out, and I'm arrested every time.
Shitting and crying.
You know what?
Well, one of those more than the other.
You know.
Yeah, nobody likes crying.
You know, if you really want to take a good shit, watch either Veronica's Closet or Whitney.
Right.
That's what we've established.
Yes, without a doubt. Well, the thing is, eventually, of course, Whitney will run its course and they'll replace it with 30 Rock, which is the plan. You know, 30 Rock's going to come in mid-season and replace it. And
so yeah, Whitney's only mid-season?
What if Whitney sticks? What are they going to do?
Gets picked up for the full season?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see that happening. I'm not saying it'll get canceled, but I don't see it getting a full season pickup because it has to be the kind of show where they go, we can't afford to pull this off the air. We need to give it a full season pickup.
But all that's really going to take for them is for it to hold most of the office's audience.
But still, it has to be doing better numbers than the 30 Rock has done in the past. And
yeah, but 30 Rock's not a strong rating show yet either.
That's true.
I don't know.
30 Rock is it's never been strong after The Office.
If they're smart, I mean, who knows? I should tell NBC what to do. But, I mean, I thought long ago it was, you know, take an hour of those shows and put them on different nights. You know, counter-program the fucking different nights. Like, you know, CBS just moved The Good Wife to Sundays.
Okay.
That's a big deal because it's on Sunday nights now. But I think, you know, it's a brilliant move because it's got a big following. And now, you know, and people are watching. And also the other thing is CBS does this thing. I mean, can you guys name anything you watch on Fridays or Saturdays?
Yes.
What?
Fringe,
right. Okay, so Nerds Stay Home, or at least TiVo Fringe on Fridays. And it includes myself. But, like, Saturdays, fucking barren. I mean, there's literally nothing.
Well, that's almost nobody programs Saturday.
Exactly. There's nothing even programmed. But on Fridays, aside from Fringe, you watch it and go, wow, there's a lot of reruns. Because, like, NBC, they rerun some comedies. They, like, this week they reran Up All Night and Whitney. on NBC on Friday. But the block of shows that's
Behind what?
Whitney.
What's this now?
But the block that is always new is CBS. They have Blue Bloods, CSI New York, and now this new show, A Gifted Man. And you watch those shows and go, they're all shows that star older, good-looking men.
Well, CBS is mainly for older people,
and
right?
Old women, specifically, old women, obviously. Yeah. Older women who stay at home on Friday nights and watch Tom Selleck, Gary Sinise,
old
and
women,
masturbate.
Old women who are still ready to fuck.
But also,
am I right?
This is the point I'm making. Where are these women? I need phone numbers and addresses.
Friday night is the
And a mustache. You need a mustache.
Yes. Yeah, I got plenty of mustaches lying around here.
That's true. Join up, kiss Cupid.
There's one right over there on Matthew Perry.
It's true.
Friday night is the natural habitat for a gifted man because that's also where all like the supernatural shows, people who talk to ghosts and angels.
Medium
and
used to be on Friday night, and the
Ghost Whisperer and
right.
Even going back to Touched by an Angel and fucking Highway to Heaven.
So Friday night's a good night for ghost stories.
Yeah.
Ghost TV.
They seem to work.
Why don't they just make a show called Ghost Show and put it on Friday? Ghost Show.
You know what? They should make a show about a ghost who talks to ghosts.
Oh, yeah. And his best friend is a ghost.
Oh.
And he has two kids, both ghosts, and a wife.
I would
ghost.
Watch the show.
So what would they call that show? Ghost Dad.
Ghost. Yeah.
Ghost Dad.
Yeah.
Is that maybe why that Rebecca Black song was not very popular? Because it failed to touch on the other part of Fridays.
The reason why.
And also
stay
wasn't
home.
Very good.
Ah.
Okay, now listen.
Sorry, Rebecca Black.
All right,
let's
take a brief respite right here for Tom Frank to break in and tell us what we should face in this week's But Let's Face It.
Spider-Man is being rebooted into a new movie franchise. The Fantastic Four is in development to be rebooted, as is Superman. In Spider-Man, the focus is going to be more on the high school aspect of the story. It's going to be directed by Mark Webb, and the working title is 500 Days of Gwen Stacy. With the Fantastic Four, everything is pretty much being thrown out, and they are starting completely from scratch. With one exception, Judi Dench will be coming back as M, which makes about as much sense as it did in Casino Royale. There is some value in retelling a story to a new generation and tailoring it for this new audience. But let's face it, rebooting has gotten completely out of control. These franchises all have movie entries that came out just a few years ago. Superhero movies are starting to feel like Groundhog Day. These projects aren't reboots as much as they are do-overs, and movie studios have become a bunch of first graders playing ghosts in the graveyard, refusing to be it when tagged, and insisting that the game start over. The ironic thing here is that one of the things that superhero comic books do best is expand continuity. Alan Moore's The Killing Joke explored the origin of the Joker in detail. Kurt Busiek's Marvels showed us what the events of the Marvel Universe were like from the point of view of everyday people. Exploring things that are only hinted at in one story can be really exciting. Roy Thomas decided to have two entire world populations, the Kree and the Skrulls, go to war in a gigantic storyline that was inspired by a single panel that Jack Kirby drew at the end of Fantastic Four 2. Expanding continuity rewards you for being a fan, while reboots punish you for it. Reboots say to the people who never cared about the property, hey, you don't have to be a fan of this thing at all in order to appreciate it. We're starting over at square one, and everyone and their dollars are welcome. And reboots say to the actual fan, hey, you know all that history and craft that made you love this thing in the first place? That never happened. And expanding continuity isn't just good for comic books that need new material on a monthly basis. The Iliad focuses on the very end of the Trojan War, which lasted for 10 years. Homer decided to follow this up with a story about Odysseus's voyage home after the war, which is a classic in its own right and is obviously much better than had he decided to simply tell the Iliad again, except make Hector 10 years younger so the part would be more castable for Croteus Pattinson. And that's the attitude that really bugs me about Hollywood reboots. You don't need a hidden microphone to know that anytime any movie producer in this town pitches a reboot project, within the first two sentences, he's going to use the words younger and sexier, as if actors with tight abs wearing tank tops is related to quality in any way, shape, or form. And I believe the reason that so many franchises get ruined to the point where they need to be rebooted at all is Hollywood cockiness. Sequels, by necessity, have to come after a financial success. And when that happens, everyone gets paid more, they assume they know everything, and artistic decisions are questioned less. And yes, I'm looking at you, Sam Raimi. With that said, just because Spider-Man 3 was atrocious doesn't mean that Spider-Man 4 had to be also. Star Trek the Motion Picture sucked ass, and yet Star Trek II The Wrath of Khan kicked ass. But we've become a culture of Control-Alt-Delete, and don't want to own up to our mistakes. And Hollywood makes a lot of mistakes when it comes to superhero movies. When these mistakes happen after the fact, Hollywood studios treat fanboys like Otter talking to Flounder in Animal House. Hey, you fucked up! You trusted us! You believed all that pretentious bullshit that Bryan Singer spewed out at Comic-Con panels. I feel maybe I've gotten a bit indulgent and lost you, so maybe I should start over, or instead, maybe I should reboot this monologue. I was 21 when I first saw Tim Burton's Batman. No, check that, I was 18, that's better. I was 18 when I first saw Tim Burton's Batman. I was an angsty, misunderstood youth with inner problems that prevented me from realizing my true potential. Adults didn't understand me, and my chiseled abs couldn't help me solve my problems. So I brooded a lot. People got tired of my darkness, and to keep them interested, I got a sidekick. When people got tired of that, I started hanging out with a sexy love interest, who was just as misunderstood as I. But then we were eventually deemed unhip by industry suits, so my dad was replaced by Judi Dench. I knew I needed some other friends as well, so I began hanging out with a wisecracking sprite from the Eighth Dimension and Ted McGinley. It was then that I realized that I'd become ridiculous, and I could do one of two things: reinvent myself and go back to my darker, more stoic origins, or march on. I decided to march on, because, let's face it, it's better to face the music for your mistakes, learn from them, try and improve upon them, than it is to pretend that they never happened.
Oh, thank you, Tom Frank. Excellent work, as always. All right, any other topics anyone wants to bring up?
Yeah, did you guys watch the premiere of SNL?
Yes, I did. Did you do a joke on it?
No.
Okay.
Man, was it hysterical.
It was really funny.
There was some good stuff. I thought the last half hour was a little not so great, but the beginning and the first hour or so
now,
was good. And I'm not a big Radiohead fan either, so.
Okay, I was about to ask you, how was Radiohead?
I fast-forwarded. Oh, yeah. So I wouldn't know. They were fine.
I'm not a big Radiohead fan either. I watched them and they were very good. They were Radiohead.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, the Radioheads.
I thought they put on a hell of a performance of what they do.
But which is mostly Radiohead songs.
Yeah, a lot of Radiohead songs.
They did do.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Now I will say this: I noticed
were fucking good though.
Zero Jay Farrow. No Jay Farrow throughout the entire show. And again, I'm going to say this just like I said it all last season. The fucking guy is underused. He's super funny and super talented. And eventually it's going to come back and Lauren's going to go, you know what? You just don't really fit in. And it's your own fucking fault because all you did is put him in sketches where it's like, oh yeah, Denzel Washington is here to train for a new thing. And he does his Denzel Washington impression for 3 minutes. And it's fucking bullshit. Well, the guy is super funny.
But also like, Fred Armisen was in it for like 10 seconds.
That's true.
Prince.
And that just got too many people.
And that was a filmed bit anyways, that Top Gun thing.
He was also in like the soap opera sketch for like one line.
Yeah.
Oh, right. He's like Daryl Hammond now.
So top or bottom game show was so fucking funny.
My favorite part was Paul Giamatti, the other guy. He didn't even have to know
who the other guy was. You've only got 45 minutes. There's like apparently, there were so many good little jokes in there.
It was pretty funny. I liked the debate thing too. I thought it was fair and funny, but it wasn't overly mean like they can sometimes do. You know, obviously, if you got Alec Baldwin playing Rick Perry in a sketch, he's going to go after him. But I thought it was like they made fun of each other, and you know, and it was like, and it kind of, it also kind of made fun of the process and Democrats as well, as by saying like, you know, you guys are threatened by these clowns. You know what I mean? Like Mitt Romney, they didn't make Mitt Romney look like an a-hole so much as they made him look like a real threat that he shouldn't be. You know what I mean? They made him look like, hey, Mitt Romney could win this, but he's not really the guy we want. So get your shit together, Democrats. That's what I got from it. And then Michelle Bachmann, Christine Wigg goes, you know you want it. I was like, yes, that's their whole deal. Dudes watch her and go, yeah, I'd like to fuck her, and I'm going to vote for her. And then she told her story about her gay husband. That was fucking hysterical. I thought it was good.
It was incredibly strong episode. Yeah.
Well, it was funny. I know that like SNL had to make budget cuts or something because they fired a bunch of their writers last year. Like my friend Heather Campbell was on the show, and she unfortunately was one of the people that they had to let go.
Wow.
So now
you might get a joke or two on there.
You should.
I wrote funny jokes as far
Heather's
as that goes.
Really funny, by the way. So
All right. Well, so. I mean, honestly, was she writing skits or Weekend Update or what?
She's writing sketches. She writes for that show, The Midnight Show. At UCB.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if we'll see what happens. Obviously, SNL is not going anywhere. But
it's not.
I mean, no. I think it'll stay on for a few years longer.
I just thought that was super strong.
Here's something. If they get a back nine pickup, it'll be a good sign.
Here's something I was thinking about when I was watching SNL. I'm watching the beginning, and you know, them hanging out in New York, you know, talking to cops, playing basketball and stuff. And I thought if it wasn't for SNL, would kids who don't live anywhere near New York really know what New York City is all about? I mean, because SNL, in terms of the television landscape, and especially for young people, SNL really is a representation of New York. They have always said, look at us, we're New York. We're New Yorkers, we do New York comedy. It's always been an embodiment of New York City. But so many shows that are set in New York aren't really done in New York. Like CSI New York is not there, and there's no Law and Order anymore. There's only one Law and Order. And I wonder if, like, because us growing up, we watched it and went, that would be cool to go to New York. And then, you know, we maybe did
That's
one
how
or two
Brian
times.
Brian learned his New York accent.
But I wonder if, like, kids today, they think that's what New York is. That's, you know, all they see is that. Or is it Sex and the City? Is it they look at Sex and City and go, that's New York, man.
With Kim Cattrall?
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I think of New York, I think of Kim Cattrall, Sarah Jessica Parker, all the shitty movies, old ladies
taking off their tops.
Yes. And talking about sex and drinking is great.
And their vaginas.
Well, I don't think culturally we're ever at a loss for something that represents New York to some degree.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Tom found that funny.
Yeah, because half of everything is set in New York.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yes. Exactly. That, yeah. But
SNL, those are the only two TV shows.
SNL
set in New
shows
York,
you New York in a way that things set in New York don't show you New York, though. I will say that. Like the old Ed Sullivan show, which I believe took place in New York, right?
Yes.
That was back then. That was that, and then.
Well,
going back further, when Broadway was a bigger deal nationally because there wasn't a television. But yeah, New York kind of does, or SNL does largely give a face to New York, I guess.
When I was a kid, the thing that really made me think about New York was Ghostbusters. Like, for some reason, Ghostbusters, when I was a kid, summed up New York.
Well, you know what?
Especially
you know?
The second movie.
Well, yeah, and they made New York a character, too, so they did, like good movies will. Yeah. Like how terrible movies will just have it in the background and goes, Mary, you know that building.
Yeah.
Hey, you see the thing behind me? That's where I am. Whereas good movies will, like, Like, but, When Harry Met Sally is a great movie, and it's very New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And terrible movies are just like, hey, let's get some pizza. Yeah. And then move on to horse shit.
Let's get some pizza and then move on to horse shit.
The let's get some pizza and there's some horse shit movie was just crap.
Yeah.
You know, it was that wasn't a good movie.
I liked the first half.
Yeah,
first, I was really into the pizza. Yeah, I was down with that. But
then the horse shit came in.
Completely unbelievable.
Yeah,
the second act kind of falls apart.
Yeah,
it's just horses shitty.
Hey, guys, I got a great idea for a second act. It just revolves around horse shit. If that's all there is. There's no building, nothing.
I got to be honest. If I were in that meeting, I probably would have greenlit that, too, because that sounds good on paper.
Pizza and horse shit. Yeah, that's all you need for a movie. So,
oh, you're dumb. All right. Anything else we want to discuss? I only had the one topic at the office, but we've
come on, Tom. Well, let's bust out with some antenna TV. What do we got?
I haven't been watching a lot of.
Wow. Okay.
I've been watching a lot of Psych.
Psych.
Really?
Yeah, because they're playing it on.
I would love for you to say I've been watching a lot of Psych. And then, pause. Psych.
I missed a trick. But they've started playing it on ION, and they're playing like 4 episodes a night or something. So I'm shooting through it pretty quick.
Psych's one of my favorite shows.
I know. I really like it. Kids like it too. I really like it. I've always liked the show, but since I haven't had cable in forever,
I love shit on you.
I only see it sporadically, but now I can watch like the whole thing in the space of a week. So,
speaking of USA, you guys remember Up All Night?
Oh yeah,
USA. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch that, and also before that, this is probably before your time. It was this thing called New Wave Theater, and this dude Peter, what's his name, hosted it, but he was dead. He was already dead when they showed the show, and they used to like cut in things with like he would say, "Hey, this next band is whatever," and then they would flash on his. What do you say when the guy's dead? His thing that you read a dude's dead
obituary.
His obit, yes, they would flash on his obit, and then pictures of his dead body and stuff. But they'd show these like cool old new wave bands that like I remember once Fear was on there, and I thought it was fucking awesome, and they just show crazy shit. But didn't Rhonda Shear host Up All Night?
I can't remember.
Blonde and big boobs.
Yeah. I know Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, that's right. Gilbert Gottfried hosted for a while.
So, good stuff. I mean, see, I remember with Gilbert Gottfried.
Okay, I think that was after.
Hey, okay, here's something I can talk about. So SNL premieres, right? Do you ever watch what's on after SNL?
No. Well, because I DVR it.
It's like LX.
The living. They don't have the Apollo.
What's the name of that show?
No, the Apollo's gone. That's gone. I mean, it's not. It still exists, but they don't show up. But it's the every now and then I'll be like the insomnia is killing me, and so I'll be watching whatever, and I don't feel like watching something on another channel, and I'll watch for a little while, and. It's fucking weird show. It's,
yeah, like...
Because they're very beautiful people, but I swear to God, I'm only slightly exaggerating when I say that it's like, you know, in L.A., there's a lot of great places where you can get pudding or whatever. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, I gotta check the show out.
The NBC channel here in L.A., Channel 4, has a lot of weird programs that they show late at night where it's like weird sort of travelogues or like rich people showing their apartments or like... There's a show called In the Wine Country that must take place in Wine Country, but they have a lot of weird sort of semi aspirational programs that like I can't imagine. Who do they think is watching these things at 2 a.m?
People who can't sleep, obviously.
They want to know about Wine Country at 2 o'clock in the morning.
They're trying to reach the college students and potheads that like want to like go straight and make money. Is that what they're trying to do?
They're just getting ready to graduate.
So.
Yeah, makes sense. By the way, I want to say before I forget that I heard from two people who enjoyed last week's episode, particularly my theme song that I played 5 times during the show.
Did you do it?
Yes. One guy in particular said, new way to be a dick. Make people think their iPod is glitching. And I was like, yeah, that's a good way to be a dick. And then, like, because I Tom mentioned he made a nasty comment about my theme song for my backhanded comment about the theme song for the show, which I wrote and sing for this podcast. And so I said, I'm going to play it at the beginning, the end, and three times in the middle. And I did. But I didn't mention it until the later on in the podcast. I didn't explain it until it had already happened twice. Yeah. So people didn't know what was going on. They thought, oh, is the show starting over? And thought there's something was wrong with their iPod. hey, that's what you get when you listen to the King of TV.
That nice. Is what you get. You get a lot of...
You got King. Yeah.
You got King, motherfucker. All right. Benny, I didn't explain this to you before the show, but at the end of every episode, Jim does a funny thing where he takes two bad impressions and mashes them together.
Right.
And we try to guess what they are. So we're going to end the show with Jim's mashup impression.
It's usually a pun. We've all explained all that.
Yes. I did want to mention, because you lent me the Weird Al DVD.
Yes.
And I watched it, and I think that comes up on October 1st. Yes. When they're broadcasting the Apocalypse Live tour.
On Comic Sense.
Really?
So go ahead and check that out. It was very good.
Yeah,
he's great live, and they sounded really good on the recording. It was a good recording.
Yeah, obviously they made it, you know, it was a free show, and just like that dog eye.
Right.
And they recorded it for the special. Also,
did you want to tell?
No, we don't have time. We got another show coming in. Also, Luther starts on BBC America this week, and it's a great fucking show. So if you like cop shows and English stuff, you should watch that. It's a great thing. All right, so do the oppression, and let's move on.
All right. Is there a prize if we win?
No, it's more of a prize if you don't hear it at all. That's the prize. If you leave the room before it starts, you win a prize. Like,
all right, well, see you guys.
Wait a minute.
Congratulations.
You did it.
Yeah, you win.
All right.
All right, do it.
So hopefully you guys all bought your tickets. This so record-setting amount of money we could all win.
Mm-hmm.
The winning numbers are 15. Ah, yeah, baby. 24. Oh, that makes me horny. 32. Groovy, baby!
Idiot. I know it.
19. Yeah, that makes me horny, baby.
Right. You already said that, I'm sure.
36. Shagadelic! I won! Shagadelic!
Yep. Okay, so.
Are you just doing yourself?
It's a pun of some sort. You got what he was referencing by all the things he was saying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we were even talking about it before the show. But also, so what was that?
Austin Powers.
Right, but what was he watching, and he was playing what?
Lottery.
Which is also called?
Drawing.
Right, but it's also, there's a pun involved, if you wanted to make it into a pun, like Austin Power.
Powerball.
There you go, Austin Powerball. Well done. Yes. Yeah, baby, Austin Powerball.
Okay.
All right, that was no good.
Oh, now.
That was fantastic.
I smell what you're stepping in.
All right. So before we go, Benny, of course, you want to follow Benny on Twitter at Benny Arthur IE.
I do want to follow myself on Twitter.
Yeah, by all means. And you have a website of your own where you have videos and stuff up?
No, I don't. I probably should, but you can find me on Fun or Die or Channel 101.
And
so.
And if people want to friend you on Facebook, you're cool with that?
Sure.
All right. Excellent.
Go ahead, friend me on Facebook.
He's a friendly guy.
Yes.
He would love to be your friend on Facebook.
We can talk about how much the new Facebook sucks.
Yeah, my youngest daughter just joined Facebook, like, today. We rewarded her by giving her a Facebook because she got good grades. And I said, you know what, Grazie, you're very lucky because you're the only person in America who won't be complaining about the new Facebook.
Yeah.
Because you'll be on, and it's all new to you, so you'll love it. And she literally has spent the entire weekend on Facebook. If she's at home, she's in her room on Facebook, uploading pictures.
Do you hate the new Facebook as well?
Well, I found a way to get around it. I just, because it's harder for me, because of course I have like over 2,000 friends, people who listen to the show.
Not to brag.
Well, I'm not trying to brag. I thought it was cool until this happened, because people who recognize you from TV or listen to the show or whatever, and I'm fine with that. I will be your friend, because of course I want you to be my friend and be my fan and listen to the show and all that shit. But unfortunately, with the new Facebook now, I'm bombarded with shit because there's so many people. So what I did is I made a circle, or whatever they call it, that they're ripping off from Google Plus, of only people I want to hear from. And you know, and most of you guys are in it, you folks listening at home. I just made a circle of close friends, and I just always have that. And that way it doesn't scroll the constant news ticker.
Okay.
And I don't have to be bombarded by people I've never met or people I don't want to hear from who I don't want to be rude to, high school fucking acquaintances and shit like that. So, like, you know, I hear from, obviously, from you guys and other comedians.
Are you on Google Plus?
No, I'm not.
Do you know anybody who is?
Well, I know a lot of people who joined when they got invited, but I don't know if people are really on it so much.
Yeah, so, like, no one's really on it, so why was Facebook so scared of Google Plus to incorporate a lot of Google Plus?
I just think it was an unnecessary... It's fine. They're a...
The circle.
Very successful corporation or a company, whatever the fuck Facebook is. They're making lots of money, so what do I know? But it seemed like it changed...
You saw a social network.
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, change is good. Obviously, you have to make changes.
No, it's not. It scares
me. No, but with new products, I mean, yes, you're going to...
You didn't vote for Obama then.
No,
you don't
not.
Like change?
I hate it.
The thing is, you're going to lose new
hope.
People.
I don't like hope.
But the old, you're going to lose the old people who go, I don't like change. But the new people you get, you have to adapt. And that's because new people are being born all the time. I don't know if you know that about the world.
Yeah, not in my family.
All right.
I never thought about that. New people are being born all the time.
And you got to change, man. Change or die.
And hope.
Hope or die. That's what I always say. Hope or die. I give you a choice, is what I say to everybody. Which is it? All right. That is the show. Benny, thank you for being here. You folks at home, please go fuck yourself.
I'm never bored when I'm with you. We're pals, we're buddies through and through. Wish I knew what to buy for you on your birthday. Our friendship goes against the grain. I've seen you swell up in the rain. I saw you, didn't see your pain. Was it termites? It's never hard to talk to you, though you stomp me with your silence. I feel so naughty pining here for your happy face's guidance. My best friend Frank. My best friend. My best friend Blake. Sitting there so silently, what could you be thinking? You're not saying I won't axe. Is that sealant that you're drinking? Man, you're hammered, nailed you, pal. Al Gore's wife's name is Tipper. I knew we'd be best friends for life when I saved you from that chipper. My best friend best friend Blake, my best friend Blake. Ooh, Blake, count the rings, count the rings. Ooh, Blake, count the rings. I walk you on the seven seas, though sawdust always makes me wheeze. I met your mom and dad, the trees. Please don't get Dutch elm disease. My best